Welcome to week four in the Love Boat series that we kicked off about a month ago. If you're just kind of joining us for the first time, what we're talking about in this series is about the most important thing in the world. What we agreed in the very beginning is that our Lord Jesus Christ gave lots of commands and asked us to do lots of things, but none is more important than love. And we agreed at the very beginning that if we do everything and we do all the prayers in the world and memorize all the Bible verses and do everything there is to do, even do miracles and prophecies and things like that without love, then it is of no value. You know, if you were paying attention today in the liturgy, once again, this is the second week in a row, that the liturgy readings spoke about love, and it came in the Epistle of St. John. And I want to show you something. It was in the epistle reading today, and it was also in the quiet time yesterday, if you did the quiet time. Okay, it was the same chapter, but not all of it was read. So what we read yesterday in our quiet time, if you were following along with the church quiet times, was from 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. St. John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Some of you are thinking to yourself, what in the world does that have to do about with love? When I read this yesterday, as I was sitting in my basement by myself, I became very, very jealous of St. John. Because what St. John is writing about in these few verses, can I underline the phrase that he repeats three times? He's saying, that which was from the beginning, which we heard and we seen with our own eyes, and we've touched and we've handled and we've seen. He repeats three times, that which we have seen. So you look at someone like St. John, and you say, man, this guy was lucky. This guy got a chance to see stuff that we can only imagine what it was like. Like, he was there. He was the one who was closest to Christ. And he's saying, I'm writing this epistle to teach you about the things which I have seen. And all I could be thinking to myself is, how can I see that? Wouldn't it be great if I could see what he saw and handle what he handled and heard what he heard? Well, the answer came a little bit later on in the epistle, which, like I said, was read today. So no one has seen God at any time. This we understand. No one's ever seen God. However, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. There was the answer to me that I was looking for right there. That I look at St. John and says that we've seen something great. And I say, man, I wish I could see that. I wish I could know the stuff that he gets to know and see the revelation that he gets to see. And he says, look here, no one's ever going to see God. But if we love one another, you don't need to see God because God is abiding inside of you. The Bible puts love as the highest commandment and the highest of everything. That's why, you know, of all the apostles, they were all martyred and killed except St. John. He was the only one who lived a very long and full life. He was the one who was closest to Christ. He was the one who knew him the best. And he was the one who had all the teachings. And he's the one who wrote three epistles, one gospel, and the book of Revelation. He wrote five books, okay? And you go to St. John, especially in his epistles, it's so clear. And you say, okay, buddy, you're like a wise man. You've seen stuff. You've handled stuff. Give me deep theology. Give me, like, groundbreaking stuff. And all he talks about in his epistles over and over and over and over is one thing. Is love. Okay? No one talks about love like St. John. You're like, come on. I understand love. We learned love when we were in second grade. No, teach me something deep. This is the deepest. Teach me something complicated. Who cares about the complicated? All that really matters is love. Because if you got love, you got God. And if you don't got love, you don't got God. So what we've been doing in this series is taking a look at the chapter on love, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and seeing the different aspects of love. We talked about how love is kind the first week. And last week we talked about how love does not envy. This week, we're going to go to love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Okay, for those of you who don't like the fluffy kind of love, you will like today. Okay, those who don't like the lovey-dovey kind of love and your neighbor and the weeping and all that kind of stuff, boom, this is your love. Because this is the tough side of love. This is the in-your-face kind of love we call kind of like tough love. Some people like it. Some people like to be like the the spiritual police guy, okay, and stick it to people when they're not doing what's right in name. You do it all in the name of love. We're going to talk today about speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. We're going to look at two concepts which seem to be against each other, but we'll see how they really are. They should be the same thing, which is like confrontation or conflict and love. Okay? Those two, usually, we kind of think of them as like separate from each other, and we think that, no, the person who's the most loving avoids conflict. Not necessarily according to the Bible. If you look at our Lord Jesus Christ and how he dealt with conflict, sometimes he solved conflict, sometimes he avoided conflict, but other times he created conflict. And we will see today how love requires some confrontation every now and then. Not all the times, but every now and then. Again, some of us who is the opposite of this hate this subject. Okay, we hate confrontation. We rather just kind of sweep stuff under the carpet and hope it kind of goes away naturally by itself. What happens if you have a problem and you ignore that problem? It goes away? It gets worse. Okay, very, very good. So that's what we're going to see today. No one likes to confront anyone, okay? No one likes to speak the truth to a loved one or a friend or something like that, but what we're going to see today is that sometimes you have no other choice. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which says kind of the same thing, but I think it says it in a clearer way, so this is going to kind of be the verse we're going to work off of today, which is to speak the truth in love. There's two sides to that verse. Okay, speak the truth, but in love. Some of us naturally like one side, and some of us naturally like the other. Some of us, like I said in the beginning, love to speak the truth. That's wrong. That's bad. You shouldn't do that. Some of us, like, it was our gift from God that we just walk around speaking the truth to people, and you can speak the truth to the cashier and the waiter and all this kind of stuff, and some people are very, very good at speaking the truth. Other people are on the love side, that we don't speak the truth because we try to be loving. And it's okay. You just kind of let it go. Okay? And what's the big deal? Kind of a thing. Well, the Bible says that you need to do both. Another verse from Psalm chapter 84, verse 10. This verse is a prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. And it says that in Christ, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Mercy and truth are the two opposites that I'm talking about. Some people are all about truth. And no, if this person is doing this, they need to be told right away. And other people are on the mercy side. Let it go. What's the big deal? Well, in Christ, you have mercy and truth. And that's our model that we're going to try to follow today, is how to have both mercy and truth. Because the last thing I want is a bunch of truth maniacs running around and yelling at each other and all this kind of stuff and confronting each other. That's not love. But also, it's not love when you watch someone going the wrong direction and kind of keep your mouth shut about it. Because you don't want to offend them, or you don't want them to get upset, or it's none of my business. Neither of the two are correct. So we need to see both. Try to find an example that shows how mercy and truth kind of meet together. When someone needed to be confronted with something or was posed with a question and answered kind of in the right way. So I went and searched long and hard to try to find something that would make this point. And finally I found something. Dumb and Dumber.
What I meant was, I like you, Mary. I like you a lot. I want to ask you a question. Straight out, flat out, and I want you to give me an honest answer. What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me ending up together?
Well, Lloyd, that's difficult to say, and we really don't...
Hit me with it! Just give it to me straight! I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just, least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good, like 1 out of 100?
I'd say More like one out of a million.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah! I read you.
Okay, maybe not the best example in the world, okay? But what I liked about it is that you see that she was trying to be gentle, okay? But by the same token, speaking the truth. Now, the guy didn't get it, okay? But maybe we can look at a better example. Let's look at St. Paul. Maybe he would be a better example than the guy from Dumb and Dumber. When you look at 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love, you will find that 1 Corinthians 13 appears approximately in the middle of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters, and 2 Corinthians has either 12 or 13. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 13 is at the tail end of the first one, so it's approximately in the middle of these two epistles. And it's all about love, and it's all kindness, and it's all goodness, and it's all this, 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 and that. But if you read the rest of the epistle on the left and on the right, you will find that it's one of his harsher epistles. And he is dealing very straightforward with lots and lots of very serious issues, and he is confronting them like head on several of these issues, and he is brutally frank about many, many different things. But it was always in the context of love. So we're going to see from St. Paul how we can be the same way. Okay, how we can be speaking the truth in love. Because like I said, if we are not speaking the truth, then we can't really say that we're really loving. And we can't say that we're, you know, like we really have a good friendship if we're not speaking the truth when it needs to be spoken. But by the same token, speaking the truth without love is just beating someone over the head. That can't be considered love either. We got to see how grace and or mercy and truth can meet together. So, first thing, first and most important step, before you confront anyone in love, you must check your motives. And you got to make sure you know why you want to confront this person. Don't go getting all riled up and ready to go and confront this guy and I'm going to give him this and this and that until you ask yourself, why do I need to talk to this person? Why do I need to even be involved in this situation? There's lots of bad reasons to confront someone. Sometimes people confront out of jealousy, out of anger, out of like impulsiveness, out of like envy or bitterness or resent or whatever it may be. You know, one of the biggest motivations for us to confront other people and give it to them, which you may not even realize because it's like a subconscious thing. One of the biggest things that we criticize, or I'm sorry, the thing that we criticize the most in another person is usually what we hate most about ourselves. Okay? So when I'm ready to confront you about what a no good, disloyal jerk you are, it's most likely because I got some of those characteristics inside me. The one who's a gossip always hears the gossip in other one's voice. The one who is, like, just a simple example, the guy who's going to a bank to steal the bank and to rob the bank, he walks in and he's suspicious and he sees, oh, what's that guy doing? Is that guy trying to rob the bank? I bet you that guy's trying to rob the bank. I think that guy's trying to rob the bank. But the person who doesn't have robbing on their mind, you know, not even thinking about it. So if I hate something about you, I'm sorry, about me, most likely I will hate it in others, and that sometimes will be why I want to confront them. That's not the right reason to confront them. That's the right reason to confront yourself. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ told us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Very, very simple. He's saying, before you confront someone else, confront yourself. Now, again, don't flip it to the wrong side. See, today is all about a balance. Okay? Don't flip to the other side, because that's what sometimes we do. And who am I to say something to so-and-so? I'm not perfect. And who am I to be able to preach to anyone or anything like that? If you had to be perfect to speak the truth, man, light and life would be very short this week if that was the situation, okay? You don't got to be perfect to be able to speak the truth. All you got to be doing is making sure that you are trying to remove the stuff from your eye and you're helping someone else to remove it from their eye. Our job is not to sit here and say, you got this, and you got this, and you got that. Our job is to say, I got a speck in my eye, and this is what's working for me, and trust me, I know that if it stays in my eye, I'm going to be in trouble, and I know if it stays in your eye, it's going to be in trouble, you're going to be in trouble as well. So, what about the verse of, judge not, lest you be judged? Everyone's favorite verse, right? Everyone's favorite verse when it comes to speaking the truth in love, in a relationship, or in a friend. No, who am I to judge? I can't judge my coworkers, and I can't judge my friends in the school, this and that. I can't judge. I don't want to judge. One of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted and just flat-out misused verses in the Bible. Because it is not saying that you do not speak against sin. Because the one who said it spoke out against sin. And St. Paul spoke out against sin frequently. So when he's saying that you judge not, it is not saying that you should tolerate sin and ignore sin and sweep sin under the carpet, whether in your life or in someone else's life. We as Christians aren't just supposed to be brain-dead people walking around and watching evil win and all this bad stuff and just saying, hey, it's not my job to judge the bad stuff. No, absolutely not. Anyone who says this is either lazy or scared. Okay, when you say this is not my position, it's either out of fear of like rejection or fear of whatever, or it's just out of straight laziness because you don't want to get involved. There's a difference between pointing out the truth and judging. Okay? Judging, as it sounds like, judges sit on a chair high above, okay, and point out the faults in others. That's judging, that's bad. That's not speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is grabbing someone by the arm, pulling them aside, and telling them what's the right path to go in life. Okay? Speaking the truth in love, to me, is like being a road sign. That's all. That's all I'm asking you to be today, is a road sign. Is a road sign that says, danger ahead, okay, and home this way, or detour, or whatever, or whatever. Okay, road sign saying, this is the way you want to go, and this is the way of a do not enter. Is it judgmental? Did the guy who put the do not enter sign on the highway of the incoming traffic, did that guy, was he a judgmental guy? Is that why he put it there? Who is he to tell, like, is he trying to judge you and tell you don't go this way? He's not judging you. He's trying to help you. And that's the same way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like road signs, okay? All throughout. And if you're in your office, or you're in your dorm, or you're in your whatever, you're a road sign. You're supposed to be pointing people in the right direction, okay? And sometimes you need to flash, okay, and sometimes you need to blink, and sometimes you need to honk, and all that kind of stuff, so that people read the sign and know what there's danger ahead. So, I got to check my motives. What's the right motive? Very simple. The right motive in speaking the truth is to help the other person, not to hurt the other person. This is like the surefire way of knowing, should I speak or should I not speak? My question to the person is always this. Are you speaking to help the person? Are you speaking just because you want to get it off your chest? If it's not to help the other person, then don't speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. St. Paul, in the midst of, like I said, a chapter where he's kind of going off on them, says, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Saying, yes, I'm upsetting you, and yes, I'm being honest about things, and yes, I'm telling you stuff straight to your face, but believe me, I'm doing it to help you, not to hurt you. Next verse, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. I hope everyone can understand this verse. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You understand what that means? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The key in that sentence there is the word friend. Okay? So before discussing how to confront, the key is who I should confront. The wounds of a friend are faithful. The wounds are faithful only when they are based on a friendship or a relationship. Okay? So this is like the first criteria. That it has to be, when talking about speaking the truth in love, I'm not going out on the street and speaking to the guy in the street or this and that about what he should do and this music is bad for you and cut your hair, boy, and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going around like a policeman to kind of tell people what they should do. But if there's a friendship and there's a relationship right there, that's where I can use that, okay? What's the expression that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So when you have proven your love for a person, then you have the ability to point out stuff. Because confrontation, believe it or not, actually is care. There's two kinds of relationships that you have in life, that I have in life and that you have. Superficial and then deep. And that's one of the big differences between the two, is the issue of speaking the truth in love. The waiter in the store who was kind of rude to me, I don't like, of course I care about him, this and that, but I'll be honest, I'll probably never see him again. You know, like, it's none of, I'm not really going to speak the truth to him. Like, I don't really have that much, like, vested in this person. But my wife, or my best friend, or my kid, or my brother, or my sister, or whatever, that's a different story. So this is the first question that you got to answer. If this person is a relationship that is a significant one and a deep one, that has to be speaking the truth in love. And oftentimes, this is how you move a relationship from level one to level two, is by dealing with some of the tougher issues in life. Okay? So first thing, before you say a word about speaking the truth, before you, like, you see something wrong and before you're ready to go gung-ho on the guy, you ask yourself, why is it that I want to speak? Second step is you prepare prayerfully. Okay? Prepare prayerfully. Meaning that you realize now, this person is close to me. I care about this relationship. This is not some guy in the street that I don't care about. This is someone who's close to me, and I care about them, and I see them going astray. So I need to say something to this person. Before you get all ready and fired up, you spend some time in prayer, because God is the one who adds the love to speaking the truth. Look at St. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Before St. Paul spoke, look what it says here. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you, with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. St. Paul is saying, I didn't write to you quickly. Okay? Anytime it's quick and it's rash and it's impulsive, it's not going to be in love. That's why the worst thing for speaking the truth is usually email. If you write that email up and then you're ready to hit send and then you feel great as soon as you hit send, you shouldn't have sent it. You shouldn't have sent it. Same with the text message or the whatever. You shouldn't have. That's not how St. Paul did. He didn't say, yeah, those guys are jerks, and write something and send real quick or something like that. Before he wrote it, look what it says. Out of much affliction, anguish of heart, I with many tears, he was grieved. Like, the guy prayed, the guy fasted, the guy begged God that they would change. They didn't change. The guy was torn up on the inside before he wrote one word to these guys. And think about what he's saying. He's saying, out of much affliction. This is the same guy. This is the same guy who would be beaten and stoned, whipped, and he would say, our light affliction. That's what St. Paul called it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Talking about the beatings, light affliction. But this is much affliction. I don't understand how that goes. That means that he really agonized before delivering it. I hope that we don't just get an idea and fire, okay? Because that's not speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love agonizes before ever speaking the truth. That's why, like I'm saying, if you like the truth side and someone annoys you and you fire back, and someone pushed the wrong button, you push the wrong one back. That is not speaking the truth in love. That's just being a rude and mean person, okay? Speaking the truth in love takes, agonizes, affliction, tears, weeps, and then says it. Because it's not just a matter of what you say, but like when you say it. Like, that's what the prayer will help guide you in, is when to say it. The right answer of when to say it is not when you're ready. It's when who's ready? The other guy. Because your goal was to, remember, that's what, step one, was the motive is to help him. So if the motive is to help him, and the motive is that he's okay, and that he's better, then I gotta see when's the best time for him to receive it. Not when I want to get it off my head. Not because I'm frustrated right now, and I gotta get stuff out. Prayerfully determine when is the best time for them to hear it. Did you know Columbia University did a study about homes in this country, and determined that more arguments occur right before dinner than any other time of day. Did you know that's a true fact? More arguments occur right before dinner than any other time of day. Why? This makes sense, okay? Because when the stomach is empty, there's a little more crankiness in the air, okay? And there's a little bit more grumpiness, and, you know, that's not the right time, at least it's me, you know, that's not the right time to bring up serious issues, okay? After we've eaten, had our dessert, and relaxed a little bit, put our feet up a little bit, then we can discuss things, okay? But not as, you know, like, Marianne learned this very early on about me. One of the things, I remember we went to a restaurant, it's probably like on our honeymoon, probably day one of after our marriage, okay? So we sit down. Now, I was taught from a very young age, you sit down, you get the menu, silence, okay, no conversation until we've ordered, okay? Like, one of the greatest sins to me is when the waiter comes and asks for drinks and you say, yeah, we need a couple more minutes. That to me is unacceptable, okay? I order drinks with the meal every single time, okay? So at the very beginning, you know, I guess some people aren't as, I don't know, uptight as me or something like that, I don't know. So, you know, I should be conversing and stuff like that, and I'd be like, did you know what you want and stuff like that? And she'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, yeah, just, you know, and I'd be trying to bring it back. That's not the right time necessarily to bring up stuff, okay? Now, I'm not saying I'm right or this and that, but what I'm saying is, if we're serious about speaking the truth in love, we should look at the other person and determine when is the right time for them to hear. Not when they're tired, not when they're hungry, not when they're under pressure and stressed out already, and I come and I wail on them and add insult to injury. I see when they're ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Like, can you see the love in what he's saying? Again, if you go back and you go home and you read your Bible, you'll see that he's dealing with some very tough stuff here, and he's being like very frank with them. But you feel the compassion in his voice. I ain't writing to share stuff with you. I'm trying, my beloved children, to warn you. So the first step was check my motives. The second step is when I'm ready to go, doesn't matter. I take my time, I prayerfully see when the other person is ready to receive. I don't just jump out Tarzan style. Okay? Number three. Give affirmation. Speaking the truth in love always has to have positive affirmation in there. Again, if you're truly seeking to help the other person, you start by seeing the good in the other person. What if there is no good in the other person? There's no such thing. There's always good in the other person. Maybe you just haven't spent enough time in step two to be able to see that good. So I say go back to step two, spend some more time in prayer, see the good in the other person, and then approach them. I was reading a book about relationships. It says every healthy relationship needs two legs to stand on. Confronting in truth, but affirming in love. No relationship can stand on one leg without the other. Okay, whether it's just the truth or just the love side, you need to have both legs to be able to stand up. And the Bible says that the truth will set you free, right? Well, it's true. The truth will set you free, but not until it first kind of makes you uncomfortable for a little bit. That's why there needs to be love, okay? Because yes, the truth in the long run is what's best for the other person, but in the short term, it hurts. So that's why there needs to be kind of couched inside an envelope of love. How would you feel if I came to you and said, let's go out for a coffee today, I'm going to tell you all the bad stuff you've ever done in life. Okay, I'm going to point out what you did wrong today. No one would like that, okay? So you'd be resentful, you'd be bitter, and you probably wouldn't listen. So you start by, you know, some kind of affirmation or some kind of nice words about, you know, whatever. You're a good guy and this and that, but it's just areas, whatever, okay? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. A good word makes the heart glad. So start with a good word and affirm to them that you're there to help, not there to hurt, that you care about them, okay? And that you believe, I believe in you, that this is not like you're a bad person, but I believe that you can be a better person, okay? And I believe that there can be a change made. And on top of that, I'm willing to do whatever I can take, whatever I can do to help you make that change. Okay? Again, if you look at St. Paul in the Epistle to the Corinthians, I'll show you two verses. One from the first chapter and one from the last chapter. First chapter, he says, I thank my God always concerning you. Last chapter, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. There's the affirmation sandwich, and in the middle is all the truth kind of stuff. But it would be incomplete without the good stuff on the ends. So start with affirmation before you speak the truth. And again, if you can't see any good in the other person, you're not looking hard enough. But a warning, okay? Make sure that when you give affirmation and positive words, that it's sincere. Because insincere is even worse than no affirmation, okay? Insincere positive things is even worse than no positive things. What I'm saying by that is, for example, one word that you never ever want to use when giving affirmation is the word but. Okay? Because but means that I'm going to say some stuff, most of it's not true, and therefore I'm totally negating it with one word, and I'll tell you the truth afterwards. That's what but means. You're a great friend, but. Means you're not really a great friend, okay? Or I like you a lot, but. No, it doesn't work that way. And, use ands, okay? Ands doesn't negate, ands adds to. So, you're a great friend, and, okay, I want you to be a better friend, okay? You are, whatever, good at this, and I think you can do better. You've made a lot of growth spiritually recently, and I think that sky's the limit for you, so you can take even the next step. Not but. Big difference between the two. I don't know if you know any examples. I know some examples in my head, I won't name names, of people who have experienced this and really made a difference in their life. Like, I don't know, maybe you have or you haven't. But someone coming to my mind right now who really was walking the wrong way. Really walking the wrong way. And I'm telling you, people tried and people tried and people tried to get him back. But the bottom line is, all the times they were doing it, as he later says, it was not in love. Okay? Like again, there's a difference between me telling you that I believe in you, this and that, and I want to help you, versus you're bad and you need to change and all that kind of stuff. So when it wasn't in love, the guy just went, each time, just pushed him further and further and further away until someone approached this guy in real love, okay, in real sincerity. And this guy spoke the truth. Okay, this guy didn't dance around the truth. This guy came straight and gave him the truth right to his face, but he knew without a doubt that it was in love. And this guy made a change because of that guy, because he finally found someone to speak the truth to him in love. The bottom line is, when it's all said and done, is that speaking the truth is never like a fun thing, but it is a necessary thing, but it's got to be done with love. Look what St. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8 through 11. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. St. Paul is saying what I'm sure a lot of you say when you have this idea in your head, you know what, I need to say something to so-and-so. Like, I got to say something to my friend. I got to tell him that I can't do this with him no more. I got to make a break. He's thinking the same thing that you're saying. He said, even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it now. I did regret it for a while, okay, but I don't regret it now. Why? Because I saw the change that it made in you. The bottom line is that speaking the truth is not fun, speaking the truth is not easy, but in the end, it is a necessary component to any good friendship. Oftentimes, we don't want to do it because we're not willing, like he was, to make people sorry for a little bit. We're not willing to make them upset for a little bit. We're not willing to go through that kind of stuff even for a little bit. But if that's so, then that's not love. Because love rejoices in the truth, and love speaks the truth. Love is willing to risk even losing a friendship. Love is willing to risk even you not liking me or inviting me to your birthday or whatever it is. Love is willing to go through that because love cares about the person more than it cares about themselves. You gotta, you know, ask yourself the same question. That in this relationship, like, you set the depth, okay, of how shallow it's going to be or how deep it's going to be by how much you're willing to speak the truth in love. Some people, I'll be honest, the easiest thing to do is just settle for shallow. And that's how some people make that decision. Easiest thing, just be shallow and not really have in-depth relationships with people. That way you never have to speak the truth. That's fine, but don't expect that you'll have deep relationships and significant relationships in life. And don't consider yourself a loving person. Last verse I want to show you. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23. It says, "He who rebukes a man will find favor after, will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." Most important word in this verse is the word afterward. Okay? Afterward is the key. Because at the time, he who rebukes a man will not find favor. Okay? And he will not find good stuff. He may find bitterness and resent and a sharp response back. But afterward, he will find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue, because that's real love. Question to you is, are you ready to speak the truth in love? I want you to think, who is it that you need to have an honest conversation with? Who is it that you need to have a serious discussion about the stuff that maybe you've been sweeping the truth kind of under the carpet for a while, and who is that you need to approach in love? Who do you see walking the wrong direction, but you've been too scared to say anything to him or her about? My question to you is, are you going to be selfish and just care about yourself and just choose the path of least resistance and the path that gives me the least headache? Or are you going to be a serious, loving person? A loving person who's ready to speak the truth in love. Not just have a none of my business and don't bother me and all that kind of stuff attitude. Our Lord Jesus Christ never backed down from speaking the truth to people, even if it got him killed in the end. And that's the way he's expecting us to be as well, that we're ready to speak the truth. Okay? Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, because you are the perfect combination of mercy and truth. And we thank you that you don't just give us the truth straight, but you always kind of couch it in mercy for us, and you always couch it in love for us. And even the times that you rebuke us, we know that it's done 100% out of love. I pray, dear Lord, that you give us hearts that love others the same way you love us, and that care for others' souls and others' salvation, just like you care for ours. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would get out of ourselves a little bit and seek to speak the truth in love. For those who are good at speaking the truth, that you give them to be more loving. And those who are good at being loving, that you give them to speak the truth when it's needed to be spoken. Give us wisdom, dear Lord, to know when to speak and when not to speak, and when to say and when not to say. I pray for our gathering here, each and every single soul that's before you. Pray for our church, for our Father, Bunip Shoy, and Tisoni Irini, and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.